Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGBM Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgbm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Since mid-February, I have been having some lovely adventures. February 10th was my youngest son's birthday, and I joined him and many of his friends and family for a weekend at a hot springs resort in the desert. Not long after I got home, we headed down to Fort Collins to see my middle son and his family, and to see our grandson Riley in his high school play. Now we're home and hosting my bonus son and his friend for their visit here for the week. And now it's March. Well, today's episode of Desert Oracle Radio was produced by Ken Lane on February 23rd, 2024. The title is Make It Sacred, which makes me wonder, what is sacred to you? If it's a place, how do you protect it? Well, enjoy and notice how many of Ken's observations are relevant right here in Montana.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, and it has been a big winter out here. We get what's left of the storms after the California mountains ring out the clouds. But it's still plenty for a land of little rain. Lots of humidity, too, something that's hard to accept when you're in the Mojave Desert, the hottest, driest desert in America. That's our brand. Hot and dry. And yet, for the past year or so, especially since Hurricane Hillary in August, lots of rain, even some snow that sticks to the hills for a day or two. Strange tropical weeds sprouting up year-round, weird rainforest ferns spreading out from the junipers and yucca trees. And plenty of rain for a land of little rain. You might have heard Death Valley has a lake again, for one thing. The ancient Lake Manly reappeared, as it sometimes does when the Amargosa River is carrying lots of storm water. As it sometimes does during its long, twisting journey from the Kingdom of Nye in Nevada. 185 miles of river in all, twisting and turning and mostly underground. And all that's left at the end of that 185-mile journey is usually the bitter stuff, the bad water. Until winters like this one. Rivers adapt. If the underground waterways are full, the water will flow on the surface. But poor old Highway 127, like most of our desert two lanes, was not really built for such weather on the regular. So here's a road conditions tip. If you are thinking of going up to see Lake Manly from Joshua Tree or 29 Palms or Wonder Valley, which would usually mean taking the beautiful and generally quiet back way through Mojave Trails up Amboy and Kelbaker Roads, through Mojave National Preserve and the last beautiful section before you cross the 15. The bad news is that a half dozen road closures await you in that direction, so plan accordingly. Yes, if you are brave and sneaky and have a hovercraft or better yet a horse, you can get around a few of the road closures like we've all done from time to time. To get east of Amboy on Old Route 66, over the past couple of decades, but you never know how far you're gonna get, and people do tend to die out there when they make a couple of wrong turns. That's all it takes, especially when it happens within the many peaceful zones without cell phone service, meaning you can die in peace when your rental car falls into the Great Chasm. So you either gotta take the way of ugliness, the I-15 full of maniacs and Amazon double trailers hauling supplements and sex toys to the suburbs of Las Vegas, or take the scenic long way along the Arizona line, the Colorado River, or you can take a helicopter, which will probably crash, as have several, both military and private, crossing the California desert and mountains in recent weeks through this wild winter weather. Give yourself at least half a day from anywhere south, southwest of Barstow. That's what I mean. That's my advice. It's not legal advice. I'm not responsible for you or anything you do. And this time of year, daylight's still gone by 6 p.m., so get on the road before noon if you want to be able to see your campsite, if you can find one. I find the whole area is just too full of people in the 21st century, which makes sense if you add up the numbers. 23 million in Southern California, another 3 million in Las Vegas, Clark County. That right there is the population of the entire continent of Australia, 26 million. Continent, island, who knows what they call it now, maybe it's like Pluto, constantly being downgraded. More people between L.A. and Las Vegas than the whole New York metropolitan area times 2.5. Of course, it only takes a couple of thousand people to make a big open desert seem crowded and disgusting. Yeah. ever sit in Yucca Valley traffic and again remember there are only 20,000 or so people in the whole town? And 75,000 dogs that never shut up? True, the residents of Yucca Valley have about a half dozen enormous pickup trucks per resident. But how many can they drive at one time? All with a turn signal blinking, blinking, blinking down the many miles of blacktop. You hardly ever see a horse anymore. Or a hovercraft. And that's the mystery why we never see hovercraft, because the U.S. Marine Corps has tremendous hovercraft, huge hovercraft. The size of old-fashioned cruise ships from the 1970s that only held a couple of thousand people. But I'll tell you where you can see them. If you're driving south of Orange County, headed towards San Diego or Tijuana or Point South, keep your eyes open on the I-5 as you're going through Camp Pendleton Marine Base. They've built large concrete block walls around the actual hovercraft ports, but once they're on the water, you can see them. Just ask Red, Blue, Black, Silver. He lives on one of those things.
Imagine, if you can, a land of incredible contrast. A land of majestic vistas. And lovely, fragile tales. A place where the sunrise bursts upon the night, turning muted colors riotously brilliant. A place where the wind has worked as a great cosmic sculptor for 70 million years. A place where river has carved a mile deep. And finally, imagine that there was an airline that, or golf and tennis vacations, of all the sights and excursion and night coach fares that can save you up to will let you charge your hold on a remarkable extended TWA. And such a place, Arizona.
Captain Williams advises me that we'll be on the ground in Phoenix in about, we predict you'll love Arizona. And we thank you for flying TWA.
Phoenix City. And not too far from the city, contrast begins. Chi Trail, looking today when President Theodore Roosevelt said, the ride from the beautiful city that you travel north sure to agree with that Teddy Roosevelt. In the state of Arizona, quietly, and keep a shot warded with some lovely glimpses of wildlife, their natural habitat. Not to mention a glimpse of the original London Bridge, where the rhythm of life and natural. And you'll find some things that are unexpected, disappointed, hundreds of challenging anywhere. A wide variety of prices. Some feature just lying around doing nothing. Accurate history, fun, right before your eyes. And a man can die on these mean streets. Perhaps no site in the state captures the real spirit of Arizona better than this. streams and lakes of the famous White Mountains, like the game fish, timber is a renewable resource. This silent symphony pauses in time. These colors give way to the moon and the stars. God's earth sleeps. Or golf and tennis vacations.
Desert Oracle Radio.
One side effect of working in radio and publishing and all the various typing professions since Ronald Reagan was president is that you tend to notice the disintegration of the various media industries. First, the newspapers and the magazines, then the locally owned radio and TV stations, the regional publishers of books and maps and guides. And now we are a decade deep into the death of all the internet publications that supposedly replaced all the newspapers and other such periodicals. The movie studios and video game companies are not doing much better, and of course you can blame corporate greed and dimwit executives who never learned anything in life except how to hype something through the next round of investment money, and how to get out the door with millions of dollars before everything shut down and deleted. They love to delete stuff these days. They will delete entire finished movies that people want to pay money to see. They will delete decades of what the tax lawyers call IP and content. Just delete it, fire everybody, move on quickly, and try to announce it on a day when so much grim stuff is going on, really nobody notices beyond the hundreds of people who find they're still sitting in an apartment, still looking at a laptop computer, but now they don't get paychecks to pay the rent. Not even a chance to raid the headquarters for anything that's not bolted to the floor, like in the good old days when you might get out the door with a matte black ping pong table or a half keg of IPA. The news media prospects are not very rosy in the present day world. A quick glance at the headlines, soon to be removed from Google for those who maybe used news.google.com these past couple of decades, is enough to tell you that everything is proceeding according to projections. According to the accounting firm's plan for widespread tax evasion and dissipation of shareholder value. Because the very idea of news is now a cultural, political, and increasingly physical battlefield around the world. The magical, majestic seven global corporate nation-states and their countless imitators don't want or need controversy. Negative controversy, I mean bad press. They love fake controversy. Better to delete a big website with decades of easily searchable and possibly actionable content. Then you can sell that now disappeared actionable content as AI data learning sets. Now your boutique corporate media studio can flesh out all kinds of rote wiki-style ChatGPT video pornography output with both generalized and topical content, along with occasional choice phrases that appeal to the middle-aged millennial who grew up reading a certain online tone, you know? Snark. for lack of a less cringy word, snark. That was the tone of digital media in the early 21st century. Some 15 years ago, the New Yorker's film critic got all up in a lather over the Gawker.com political website that I edited and published between 2006 and about 2011. David Denby was very upset about the snark, and actually published an anemic book with that title. Well, with that title and a subtitle. Snark. It's mean, it's personal, and it's ruining our conversation. What a subtitle. That's a person who was repeatedly and aggressively given swirlies at summer camp because he deserved it. When my mean old Cajun grandma lived with me and my parents during her last years of life, sometimes I'd come home from school and say, oh, so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so was mean to me. And she'd say, did you deserve it? Well, I probably did. It's just the way of the beast, the mark of the beast. The beast is always hungry for pain and blood and sorrow and anxiety. But also for corporate earnings, stock splits, and commercial real estate. And what they call mega bonuses on Wall Street. Especially commercial real estate. Until, in the case of commercial real estate, the beast does not want it anymore. So what happens? Well, when I don't want something anymore, I either take it down to Angel View Thrift Shop so it can generate a little cash for taking care of those kids, or I put it out on the street so somebody who needs it can take it away. But they don't do that with empty Rite Aid locations. They just fire everybody who works there, and they send a robot text to the people who will need to find another pharmacy to pick up their medications tomorrow. And then they lock up the building. Nobody's gonna sleep in there, no matter how many people are in tents on the street outside. Those people in tents because they will never have the $10,000 required to rent a crappy apartment in 2024. With something like a news website, it's even easier. There's no reel in the estate. It's just some space on the Amazon Web Services cloud. Just delete it all and quit paying the server bills. Nice and easy. I saw somebody today talking about the Washington, D.C. radio station that just laid off a big chunk of its editorial staff. Is nothing sacred? She asked on a social media site. of that stuff is sacred. Nothing is sacred unless we set it aside as sacred. And with Americans rapidly abandoning organized religion and the formerly sanctified church and temple sites now up for grabs, if you've got a spare $1 million to turn an old chapel into a luxury home, where are the places that are literally sacred? Places set aside for contemplation, meditation, seasonal festivals, the rituals of life. There ain't much. Sometimes I'll be talking with the park rangers and they'll mention how such and such place is sacred to this tribe or to that tribe. Access is restricted, etc. Understandable. But I'll think, where the hell are my sacred places? My ancestors have been on this continent for nearly 5 centuries. Could we get a little something? It was nearly 2 centuries ago when John Muir and people of his ilk very intentionally desired national parks and nature preserves to serve as open-air sacred places for all who visited them. But government agencies are not too good at running open-air temples. They're constitutionally prohibited from that whole business, apparently. Plus, they want to get a boat ramp in there and some more glamping sites, new parking lots, comfort stations. If you want something to outlast a particular profit-driven business cycle, you have to make it yourself and you have to make it intentionally to not be part of the profit-driven business cycle. That's about all I've learned. And I believe that making places sacred greatly increases the chance of making places eternal. What I'm talking about is good old American nature worship, the wilderness transcendence of Georgia O'Keeffe and Robinson Jeffers and Mary Hunter Austin and, of course, old John Muir. John Muir, who wrote, "There is a love of wild nature in everybody, an ancient mother love ever showing itself, whether recognized or not, and however covered by cares and duties." Thousands of tired, nerve-shaken, over-civilized people are beginning to find out that going to the mountains is going home, that wildness is a necessity, and that mountain parks and reservations are useful not only as fountains of timber and irrigating rivers, but as fountains of life. From Amboy to Zizek's, around and across these Mojave desert lands, this has been Desert Oracle Radio. If you are in or around the Mojave High Desert, you can tune in at 10 p.m. Friday nights on our local station up here, Z107.7 FM. Good night. From the voice of the desert.
Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGBM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio. When I was in the desert last month at Tecopa Hot Springs, I witnessed all that water Ken talked about in the Amargosa River Valley. If we stood on the sand and worked our feet, water began coming up to the surface of the sand. It was pretty amazing. The temperatures were in the 50s and it was windy, so my Montana winter coat kept me warm. Our group also toured the China Gate Ranch. If you ever get a chance, I recommend it. This is not only a wondrous, historic little date farm and a place to sample whatever dates are in season, but they are also famous for their date shakes. You can also hike the trails of the date groves or the wilder areas of the ranch. We heard Gamble's quails calling from the hillsides. I love finding out about these cool little places. Webster's dictionary defines the word sacred in several different ways. One is dedicated or set apart for the service or worship of a deity, or devoted exclusively to one service or use, as of a person or purpose. A second definition is worthy of religious veneration, as in holy, or entitled to reverence and respect. And a third definition is unassailable, inviolable, highly valued and important. To me, one's personal relationship with the eternal, no matter what they call it, is a sacred thing. I am most mindful of it in nature, though it can also come about when I'm in the midst of loved ones, reading or listening to the words of inspired authors, or even looking into the eyes of a stranger. I'm also aware of it when I take time to remember I am related to everything. I have heard that hot springs are sometimes thought of as sacred areas. I know the experience of a good hot soak on a winter day feels holy to my body. Well, here's a field note from Montana Natural History Center. It's titled, Reveling in Hot Springs in Winter.
It's time for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center. On a recent trip to Chico Hot Springs, my husband and I put on our bathing suits in the chilly, concrete dressing rooms and walked barefoot and exposed across the icy walkways that many had walked before. The temperature was a frigid 5 below. We gripped the ice-covered railings of the large pool and submerged ourselves in the warm, welcome embrace of the 110-degree, mineral-rich water. The cold air over the hot pools was thick with fog. Before the warm water lulled us into a floating slumber, we jumped out into the ice-cold air, our bodies steaming, to freeze a little before returning to the comfort of the pool. I had never put much thought into everything that had to happen for us and our fellow soakers to enjoy this unique activity. How is the water heated? Where does it come from? Why do hot springs have such high mineral content? How long have people been soaking their bones in the healing waters? As I researched, I was surprised to learn that our state has 61 known hot springs, some private, some commercial, and some undeveloped, and they are mostly in western Montana. people and animals have known about and taken advantage of the benefits of hot springs since the Paleolithic period. Indigenous peoples have used the hot springs in Montana for centuries to bathe and soak, cook, and do laundry. Some tribes considered the warm waters sacred. After the indigenous peoples were pushed from their land, cowboys and settlers took over those spaces, and many of the hot spring sites were eventually converted into natatoriums and medical centers. Take a minute to look up the old Broadwater Natatorium in Helena. It was a spectacular building. Hot springs are also known as geothermal springs, and they are heated, well, geothermally. In Montana, this typically happens one of two ways. In western Montana, water from the surface of the earth or from aquifers seeps down into geologic faults, where it is heated in the depths of the crust. The less dense heated water then rises back to the surface through another fault and forms the hot spring. Since hot water dissolves minerals in higher quantities than average or cold temperature water, hot springs tend to have high mineral content. Hot springs are created a little bit differently in eastern Montana due to its unique geology. It is part of the Madison Group, a formation of carbonate rocks, mostly limestone, that extends across several states and at depths of up to a few thousand feet below the Earth's surface. Limestone is very porous, allowing rainwater to trickle down and reach the heated layers of the crust. Interesting side note, because the rock is soluble, it often turns into karst, a type of landscape where the water has eroded away the underlying rock and where caves often form. The Lewis and Clark Caverns are a well-known example of a cave formed in the Madison Group. On our drive back from Chico between Prey and Livingston, we noticed there seemed to be a lot of steam rising above the Yellowstone River. After a few days of hot spring soaking, naturally, everything looked like a potential relaxing winter dip. A quick search of the United States Geological Survey website told us that the water temperature was about 32.5 degrees that day, so jumping in would not have been wise. Turns out that what was happening was exactly what caused the fog over the pool at Chico. Relatively warm water condensing in the colder air. I just didn't realize that it could happen over water that was a frigid 32.5 degrees. I think I'll stick to Montana's many hot springs for my soaking experiences. Today's field note was written in the Master Naturalist course at the Montana Natural History Center. I am Brianna Wentworth for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center, providing natural history education for schools and the public throughout Montana. For information on upcoming events and programs at the center, call 406-327-0405 or visit our website at montananaturalist.org.
I guess when I think about the word sacred, I think of something that I regard with a great deal of respect. So I think the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is my family that I have a great deal of respect for. But I guess the other thing, too, that I regard with a lot of respect is my time. I think one of the things that comes to mind is the time that I get to spend out in Montana, just being out in wilderness. Fishing, I regard that with a great deal of respect because it kind of feels like I'm getting back to the original origins of me or what makes me as a man. Being outdoors and being out there fishing and just being in the environment and kind of becoming one with it, I have a great deal of respect for. I think mainly because I don't get to do it that often, and so when I do get to do it, I really cherish that time and regard it with a great deal of respect. So that's what I think of when I think of the word sacred.
Hi, Rock. CJ here. I would say something that's sacred to me is my time in the morning spent journaling and or reading something positive, doing stretches, brushing my cat, all of those things. Praying for people, and also time in nature. That's sacred to me as well. Have a good day.
Right now, we have a lot of birds migrating through our area, and you might come across an injured bird. So here are some numbers from Sacajawea Audubon to have on hand for help. You might want to write these down. The Big Sky Bird Rescue for songbirds is 406-580-9762. The Montana Raptor Conservation Center for raptors is 406-585-1211. The WJH Bird Resources, and this is for waterfowl in Billings, is 406-652-7175. And speaking of Sacajawea Audubon Society, their next monthly program is Monday, March 11th at 7 p.m. I'll probably have more about that in next week's show. Thank you. Well, this week we have some days for potential national observance or maybe quiet contemplation. Among them, March 3rd is National Day of Unplugging and World Wildlife Day. March 4th is National Backcountry Ski Day and National Suns Day. March 5th, National Cheese Doodle Day and my grandson's birthday. Happy birthday, Ashton. March 6th, National Dentist Day and National Oreo Cookie Day. How did that happen? March 7th is Sock Monkey Day. March 8th is Discover What Your Name Means Day and International Women's Day. March 9th is National American Paddlefish Day and National Barbie Day and National Get Over It Day. Well, that's appropriate. I don't know if you can hear it, but my cat is getting really impatient with me right now. Hey, cats were thought of as sacred in Egypt, right? Anyway, okay, my thanks today to Ken Lane for sharing his work on Desert Oracle Radio, and thanks to allaboutbirds.org for the Gamble's quail sounds. Thanks to Montana Natural History Center Field Notes. Other sounds came from my walks around Bozeman. Thanks to those that contributed their thoughts about sacred things. Thanks to you for listening today. You can call or text me at 406-404-6246 with anything you'd like to say, hear, or talk about. You can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 p.m. Sundays and 9 a.m. Mondays. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgvm.org website. And my thanks to The Cult taking us out with Sacred Life from their self-titled 1994 album. Till next week. Stay well and sweet dreams.
are so young. Don't you know your king is young? Well, River Phoenix was so young. Don't you know your prince is gone? Hey, hey there, sister. What is holy in your life? Hey, there, brother, sacred in your life.
What is safe? What is secure?